You're listening to the £50 Note Podcast with your host, Jeb Edwards.
You really know how to mess up an act, you know that, mister?
You know what they call people like you?
Fashionable.
Welcome to the show. This is episode number 62, entitled Happy Birthday, Baby Jesus. I know it's been a long time since I've done the last show, which was the set list that I DJed the last time I was in London in October. But I'm back in London again, and I'm also back here at the Night Nurse Bunker with Scott.
Hello.
And with Tim.
Hello.
The three of us doing a joint podcast. But this time it's not the three of us all together, like doing three podcasts in a row. It's just going to be
a trinity. It's a holy, unholy trinity.
It's not. Yeah, the unholy trinity.
This, yeah, in one.
The queer trinity.
So this time it's just one show, and it's going to be somewhat of a Christmassy theme, so we'll actually start that out with Saint Etienne and I Was Born on Christmas Day. Where's the music, Scott? Press play.
It's quiet.
Press play.
It's quiet as a mouse. Nothing was moving, not even a house. Not as all might, is it? It was the night before Christmas and the CD wasn't playing.
Oh, wait, there was it.
I know, shut the fuck up.
Got the promise. Okay, that actually was not a happy birthday for baby Jesus. That was a happy birthday for Scott. Yay. Because today is Scott's 30th birthday.
Happy birthday. Yay.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to Scott.
You old fucker, you.
Aww.
Yes. He's 30.
Happy birthday to you. You live in a zoo. You smell like a monkey and look like one, too.
And you probably fling poo.
So and anyway, you smell like poo.
That was a request from Scott Scott.
That was for me. we recorded a show last night, a Nightmare show last night, obviously, which covers all this shit. But we're here on my birthday because this is the one day where we could all actually get together while you're here, Jeb, to do a show.
Right.
So, because tomorrow we're going to be very busy partying.
Yes.
At my birthday party, which is going to be awesome.
In wearing black, in sackcloth and ashes.
And swaddling clothes.
I would like to point out right now, though, that Scott is wearing a T-shirt that says, Jesus is effing metal.
Now, I knew you were going to point this out. And when I've spoken about this T-shirt, this is the T-shirt that I spoke about on the Nightmare show that's been banned from work.
From your work.
This is the shirt that's been banned from my work.
Why? Who got offended?
Some, I don't know, Christian bitch. I don't fucking
Nice and tolerant
fuck
this time
Christmas.
Of year.
Yeah.
Fuck, I feel very bar humbug as well about Christmas, very much.
Well,
like,
you know, I said this last night. I haven't fucking bought a thing. I've got no money until next week. So I get paid on the 20th. You can imagine what my last five days next week are going to be like. I'll be running the stores, freaking out, wrapping presents, setting up a tree.
Crying yourself to sleep the night before, going, I'm terrible. I'm broken.
That was me last night. Knowing that I was going to be 30 today.
The world has not come to an end.
No, my dick has not fallen off. Everything is fine.
Your balls probably dropped, though.
Yeah.
You get that dangly look as you get older.
Not yet.
Everything moves south.
They're not very big yet. I'm still waiting.
So I came back over to do the second of the highly successful Radio Clash nights.
Yes,
this one
was
entitled Bah Humbug, and it had a great Christmas theme going on. I DJ'd and performed live, and Tim, actually, we did a live mashup. Losing My Sledge, that we, based on LCD Sound System's Losing My Edge, that we recorded last year for the Radio Clash Christmas show, and Tim backed me up on sleigh bells, and he even has the gnarly sleigh belt injury to prove it. We'll come back to that in a second. Tim also DJed, and Eric Kleptone from the Kleptones DJed, doing live mashups, and it was a total blast. So do you want to talk about your disgusting... Oh, you finally put a Band-Aid on it.
Yes, my sleigh bell injuries, yeah. Just for a Christmassy theme. It was fun. I was good to actually perform on stage for the first time ever. It was a lot of fun to do that with you, but even though we kind of had a bit of a technical difficulty halfway through.
Yeah, we did. Eric didn't realize that the channel that he needed to use to set up his laptop, which he was DJing from, were also the two channels that our microphones were running through. So halfway through our performance, he unplugged us. So we just kind of looked at each other and started laughing. We're still up on stage and the music is going. So we just kind of like took a bow and left the stage, and everybody started applauding. And then they came out and they were dancing to the backing track because it was still going. So that was really
good. And Eric did a really, really good set.
Oh, God,
really
he was so good. And I had a blast that night. I have to say, I was really nervous beforehand because I was not as prepared for this show as I was the last time. But I feel like it went well, and I had a blast. It was so much fun. The Christmas theme was funny because lots of people, like you were wearing the Santa hat that you have on right now that lights up.
Yeah.
And my friend Martin had on a Santa hat, and there were plenty of people there that were doing things like that. And Tim always puts together video stuff to be projected on the wall adjacent to the makeshift dance floor area, and it was things like How the Grinch Stole Christmas and the Peanuts Christmas Special.
And
it was really funny. Like, I was playing their remix of Like a Pen by The Knife, and it's that scene in The Grinch where they're trying to get the sledge down the hill, and it actually worked as a video for the song.
I thought it was really amusing.
Spooky.
I also had Nightmare Before Christmas as well, and also Mystery Train. There was a few kind of non... Oh, and the video for Last Christmas by Wham.
Oh, and the Jingle Cats, too. The Jingle
yes.
Cats, too, because that was totally tripping me out. And see, all of this is going on, and Scott had his work Christmas party that night, so he wasn't there for any of it. He didn't get there until very late.
All of this. And then I stayed for a whole half an hour and went home because I thought I was going to get the 1 o'clock train, which they have now since canceled and does not exist anymore.
You should have heard the string of curse words coming out of his mouth.
Oh, no.
At Charing Cross Station. So we go across the road to catch the night bus, same as we did the last time I was here.
Right, it was very deja vu.
Poor thing. He's like, we're sitting in the back seats, and this time we're doing 80s hair metal. I'm singing, like, In Your Dreams by Dokken and stuff like that. Yeah. And poor Scott is, like, falling asleep with his head against
the
window.
He has a photo.
I actually have a photo of him that I think looks very sweet. Aw, bless.
Baby Scott.
Happy birthday, baby Scott.
Fuck you guys, man.
So, I don't recall Eric doing anything that was specifically Christmas mashups, but you were, and you gave out CDs as well.
Yeah,
so do you want to introduce Imagine Santa?
Yeah, this is a mashup by DJ BC, and I think it was the other track that was on the CD compilation. But yeah, this is a mashup called Imagine Santa with Lennon's Imagine with the Jacksons doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Very good track. And yeah, the first 10 people got this CD compilation, which was called Bar Humbug. The mood was very much anti-Christmas. This is the idea of doing a non-Christmas event around Christmas, because everybody else does Christmassy stuff. So,
but yet it still ended up with kind of a fun Christmas vibe.
Yes,
so
it was a fun anti-Christmas vibe, which became quite Christmassy.
It was an ironic Christmas
special. Yes, it was.
Hello, this is John speaking with his voice. We're all very happy to be able to talk to you like this on this little bit of plastic. This record reaches you at the end of a really gay year for us, and it's all due to you.
You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice.
That's so sweet. I love that song.
I know.
It's wonderfully done.
It's a beautiful song, but it's quite sad as well. And it's probably Imagine. Imagine's always kind of one of those songs that is always a little bit kind of not totally happy. So I like how the Jacksons and the Lennon kind of like sort of contradict each other almost, but it sounds very sad.
Yeah.
I suppose it's the Michael Jackson, little Michael Jackson, before he went all odd.
I think that's what really makes it sad, is that, you know, this wonderfully talented person was taken away from us. You know, I'm not talking about John Lennon, I'm talking about Michael Jackson.
Well, both of them.
he was taken away by a white woman.
Madonna?
Maybe. I knew Madonna had something to answer for. Fucking bitch.
The black baby.
Madonna TBB. And child. Yeah.
TGB, right?
Yeah.
No, you know.
We can't get off that topic. Can we? Okay, this is about to derail the show, but that's my fault because I'm the one that brought it up.
Yeah.
So what we were talking about while that song was playing was, it's very beautiful, and there's something very kind of bittersweet about it. Maybe that's because of what has happened to Michael Jackson and what did happen to John Lennon, but it just works very beautifully. But the Saint Etienne track is a little bit melancholy lyrically, and the song that I'm going to close the show out with has this really beautiful melancholy vibe. Yeah. And Tim was saying that was part of the reason that he wanted to do
Bah Humbug. Yeah, because, I mean, Christmases are always kind of like a bittersweet period for me. I mean, it's kind of me and my partner usually leave the country. I think because it's this thing about family, isn't it? Family, Christmas times, and lots of sort of bad memories when I was a kid. So lots of families not getting on and all.
Last Christmas for me, okay, this is about to really bring everything down. Last Christmas for me was like just 6 months removed from when I lost both my parents. So I did absolutely no Christmas last year. No decoration, no gift giving, no anything. I just did everything I could to sort of avoid it. So this year, I'm actually somewhat looking forward to it. And like the Saturday before Christmas, I'm getting together with my brother and both my sisters and all our extended families and Bob, you know, will be going with me. They actually, even this was, you know, like my sister suggested putting Bob's name in because all the siblings draw and all the spouses are part of that, draw names to give presents. And Bob was included in that this year, which I thought was very sweet. It's like, you know, even though I'm a bit at odds with the rest of my family from a religious standpoint, they've sort of come around to just accepting that, you know, that we're part of the family too, which I think is really great.
That is good.
So that will make this actually the first Christmas I've somewhat looked forward to in a while, although it's still, you know, just holidays in general is stress for me. And, you know, it's money and it's being beat over the head with religion and all that yucky.
Well, I think me and John always go out because it's everything shuts down in, you know, unlike a lot of other countries, everything shuts down in the UK. And this is the first Christmas we'll actually be spending inside in the UK. We're actually going to Chester, but we're going away to a hotel, which we know will have food and things like that, and we're just going to stay there. But yeah, it's kind of like John's family's in South Africa. So, you know, he sometimes goes back there for Christmas.
What about your family?
My family?
Yeah, you just don't bother with them because of the infighting and stuff?
My family is, my mother is, well, my mother's a bitch, and I really don't get on with her at all. So it's that she was the main reason. And the thing is, after my parents divorced, there was always this thing about who you're going to spend Christmas with, and they always used to fight about that. So even after they stopped, you know, being together and fighting when they were together.
Yeah.
They then still fought when they left. So it was like, Christmases were always like stress. Like, always, you know, like my mother would get upset that I'd usually spend New Year's with her because she was in London and New Year in London is quite nice. But it was like, but then it'd be like, oh, I want to spend Christmas with you. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Mm. So that's the reason why Christmases are a bit like odd for me. But I'll be seeing my dad. I will be seeing my dad after Christmas.
What about you? Because you live with your brother, right?
I live with my brother Ray, and my mom passed quite a few years ago now. I think what's going to be really different for me this year is I'm single. In the last 2 years, I've been spoiled rotten by Matt, and this year I won't be, obviously. So I think, and then also, I don't really have anyone to really concentrate on buying for, and it's very strange because I have my brother. But like, you know, when it's like when you buy your partner presents, you know, you really think about what they want. You know them so well. I think it was a year before I managed to get Matt a Nintendo DS from America, and I had to import it over because it wasn't even out here yet. And, you know, he was so over the moon about it. And then last year, I got him... what did I get him? I can't even remember now. But I got him something he wanted. And so now it's like, now that's not happening. It's a little strange for me. It's going to be a little bit more transitional, and I'm going to be spending it with my brother, and I know I'm really not going to get much, and I'm actually, you know, kind of comfortable with that. I realized it. It's cool, you know?
Do you know what's funny about buying presents for family is it does give you the opportunity to be really passive-aggressive.
Oh, yes.
Like, if there was something he was doing around the apartment that annoyed the hell out of you, like, you know, he won't wash dishes or something like that, you could put a bottle of dishwashing detergent in his stocking. Merry Christmas!
Yeah, I suppose so. Yes. No, it was never like that. Like, me and Matt would, you know, I didn't live with Matt, but me and Matt would go out and we'd really shop for each other, and he bought me a fucking iPod the first year we were together, you know. It was really special. So,
is that iPod full of metal now?
The iPod is redundant now. It died. It was 2 years ago. I got my money's worth out of that.
I've been really fortunate. I've yet to lose an iPod.
No, I didn't
really
lose it.
Everybody, well, I mean, yeah, you know, I've never lost it. The fact that it doesn't work anymore.
It is like next, you know. There's like three important things I carry with me outside of the house now: my house keys, my cigarettes, and my phone. So those are the things that I need essentially to leave the house with. Now the iPod can be added to that list, and they're all equally as important as each other. So,
but house keys is probably a little bit more important since you couldn't be able to get back in.
I can break a window to get in, but I can't sit
at
the tube station.
I can't live without my iPod.
Yeah,
no,
and exactly. Not have music.
My brother will be in. My brother will be in eventually. If he's not there, he will get one at some point. Yeah.
So, speaking of the metal, this next mashup has a little bit of that for Scott, and it's also because this is funny because the three of us are sitting here sharing a lot more about ourselves personally than we tend to do on our individual podcasts, which is not embarrassing, but certainly.
Do you feel a little uncomfortable?
I don't feel uncomfortable. I feel like the estrogen level in the room has gone way up.
It's very cathartic.
Today on Oprah.
It's very, what's the word, like, cathartic, is it? Or something like that. I love it. I love talking about these things sometimes. You know, on our show, we're always trying to bring the funny. We're always trying to twist things into a certain angle to crack a joke about it. You know, I think we did have a very serious show after I broke up with Matt, but now, since I haven't really spoken about it, and I actually try not to speak about it too much. I don't want to weigh people down with, you know, how I feel about.
But that's the thing about Christmas, is they always bring all these things out.
They do,
which is why I always find, you think, hey, happy, it's Christmas, wonderful, but it's always bittersweet.
It's also, you know, because it's winter and it's dark early and it's coming to the close of the year, so it's a time.
Yeah, I was supposed to say, you get your seasonal affected depression.
Yeah, I do.
And you know what? I mean, I haven't said this yet to you yet. It's obvious. At times, you know, when I've spoken to you, you're a lot shorter than you've been. A lot shorter. I was very, very stupid to even bother asking this question today, but I said to Tim, can I ask you a very quick question about Photoshop? This is on MSN. This is on MSN, right?
Yeah, a very quick question.
Yeah, and I said, how do you take four photos and put them into one? And he goes, I thought this was going to be a quick question. I am editing my show. Now, mind you, my MSN signature right now says, TGA, happy birthday to me. Right, and I get I am editing my show, and I was like, okay.
And then the second misstep was that we all met up at Hammersmith Station come here to the bunker, and there's a McDonald's in Hammersmith Station. I was really hungry. Scott was really hungry, and we're still waiting on Tim. Now, so we go in to sit down to start eating,
and then Tim
and
walks
Tim
in and goes,
"Hates McDonald's." Just,
no, you missed his face. He walked in, and I was putting my tray down, and he goes, "Are we eating here?" Not a hello. Not a how are you. Not a happy birthday. It was. Are we eating here?
On that
note. And I sat there and I said, yeah, and he went, I fucking hate McDonald's.
So on that note, we have our next song.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
What do they call it?
Royale with cheese.
What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
Go in, order a burger in this fast food joint. The guy drops it on the floor. Jim, he picks it up. He wipes it off. He hands it to me like it's all okay.
1 minute you're chewing on a burger, the next minute you're dead meat.
I hate fast food.
I would pay for hand food.
like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun. I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run. Don't bump a button, hot man, it really hurt bad. Don't you get drive? Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Where is the bell? Wait for the bell. Can't hear the bell. Where is the bell? Ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun. I was the Burger King making paper whoppers. I was paper. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun, ding by the dun.
I love that so much. Oh,
I want an apple pie now.
That's a voice dude with Carol of the Burgers. Yes, and that was on the
good.
Bar Humbug CD.
Very
that was
good.
On
that
the CD I gave out.
To be Trans-Siberian Orchestra with that like wailing metal guitar along with the
yeah, like very Norwegian, sort of progressive, sort of like...
Santa metal.
Yeah, but black metal.
Santa, black Santa.
What do we call Happy it? Birthday, baby Satan.
Yeah. Yes. We can call it... not, it's not black metal now, it's white metal. But then that sounds supremacist and racist. But it's like more snow and Nordic and... that sort of thing.
So it's Thor metal.
Thor. That sounds so awesome.
It's Thor metal.
Green men metal.
I was hoping, right? You know what? Talking about Thor, and it got me thinking of, like, you know, big burly men. My main wish, my main wish this for my birthday today was to be lying in my bed with two big burly tattooed men standing naked on each side with huge feather fans feeding me Krispy Kremes and chocolate.
Is that the only thing they're feeding you?
And
hello.
Well, perfect. They'll be naked, but you know.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck in the studio with you guys.
Oh, thanks.
So you still get
great 30th fucking birthday to me. I don't know, maybe I'll get a cock in my mouth later. Who knows? You'll see.
Why did somebody
the day is young.
Did somebody get you a rooster for a present?
Well, I was thinking of having some chicken for dinner.
Oh, boom, boom.
You'll go to Chunk. You'll go to Chunk.
I really have
make
no
out.
Intention of going to Chunk, actually.
You're
but
going.
No.
I'm going. You're going.
I might come down later. My friend is meeting me. Me and one of my closest friends are going out for a drink tonight. It's his treat. He wants to go to this place in South London, so we won't be far from Chunk. I will do my best to convince
Chunk,
him that going
Chunk,
to Chunk is
Chunk
the way
is a
forward.
Club here that's in Vauxhall.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. It's a South Central.
South Central and Vauxhall, yeah. Full of...
So it's like the Compton
bigger
of
guys, usually over 30,
yeah.
With it beards.
Depends
so
when you go.
All three of us fit in very well.
If it's South Central, is it the Compton of London?
It's
yeah.
It's coming straight out of Vauxhall.
Yeah. Straight out of Vauxhall. Faggot, try to hit me.
Oh, you'll never guess this. Where me and Kurt grew up, there's actually a village called Compton, and in the village of Compton there was a painter called Watts, so there's a Watts gallery in Compton.
Oh my god.
And it was like we were going, oh, so ghetto, yeah, we're in this village, we're in Compton. It was like, it's a tiny little village in Surrey.
I've been in Compton. I've driven through Compton before.
Have you? Was it the scary? Real, did you get shot at?
What, the village in Surrey? Yeah, yeah.
No. I've driven through Compton in Los Angeles before. It didn't, I never felt threatened. I never felt really scared. Of course, it was daylight out.
It was the tank you were driving in that kind of helped. Yeah,
and the fact that your windows were shut and your doors were locked and you had the air conditioning on.
And
you
like,
were just
this,
fine,
you
right?
know, shivering like I'm a chihuahua. Yeah. Like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Oh. I'm white. Leave me alone. I know I'm white. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean
to give you the 400 years of oppression and slavery that you had. It's not my fault. Don't blame me. I'm only a hick from Kentucky. Leave me the fuck alone.
I would have just dropped some science on the mic, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're very
good.
He's a proper rapper, right.
Do you want to talk about that?
Oh,
I heard about this.
Jeb did a cover of It's Percussion
by M Doc.
By M Doc.
Yeah. I actually, if you've been following the 50-pound note blog, I linked.
Excuse me.
Charming.
I can't invite you anywhere.
I posted a download of my cover. Anyway, I did it live. I rapped it live.
Yes, it was very, very good. And I didn't realize that Jeb had rapping skills. It was very, very, very good. And it was like, you sort of had the mic and you sort of took it out of the holder and you were sort of, you know, rapping.
Yeah,
along.
I was trying to be very Beastie Boys.
It was the holder.
Never rocked the mic with the pantyhose. Like kind of like what we're doing right now, because all these microphones have windscreens on them.
Is that a pantyhose? Oh.
Well, no, actually, what they mean by never rock the mic with the pantyhose is the popper pop windscreen shield, that is in front of Scott's microphone right now.
Yeah, so I got the host mic.
But the ghetto way you make one is you bend a coat hanger and you put pantyhose.
That's not ghetto. That's how I used to do it when I started my podcast. That's what I did. I didn't buy
it's ghetto.
It's ghetto.
It is a completely different filter. It's a different filter completely. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
It still doesn't stop the popping from what I've heard.
Popping and locking.
Like you're going to do right now, you're making those levels go up. All right. Have fun editing it. And you know
have
what,
fun editing your mom.
Oh, whatever, bitch. When you get home and you edit this shit, and then when you get people on their iPads listening to it and
whatever.
Shit, and then their ears go deaf, and then they email your ass because they can't call you because they can't hear you, okay? Then you're going
to
be in trouble.
Talk
then the lawsuits will
you
be coming, and then the lawyers will be calling on your door, yeah? And I was not involved in it, okay? My name is not here. I am not here right now, okay? I'll just say that to you right now. I don't give a shit, okay, motherfucker? So I will fuck you up, my brothers. Come down here and kick your ass.
You listen to the last show we recorded. You know I don't edit anything.
I know.
Whatever, girlfriend. Whatever.
Okay, so on this one, we'll go ahead and bring the show to a close because we didn't really have a whole lot planned. We just knew we wanted to get together to record one because it's always really fun to get the three of us together.
It is.
We shared.
We had a moment.
Yes.
So yeah, it was like being on The View.
What's the view?
With three fucking
with
gay
Rosie
bears.
And
yeah, oh Rosie,
it's just like really awful estrogen soaked chat show in America where basically like four women sit around and have a coffee clatch. And
isn't it
Barbara Walters,
some conservative bitch, and another one,
Elizabeth
Hasselbeck,
who was like
a
contestant on Survivor.
Yeah, and
she's
now I don't know, isn't she?
And Joy Behar, I think, is the fourth one.
Yeah, and
it's really
Rosie
sad that
O'Donnell
I know this.
Start like a big fucking thing over there at the moment, like with this whole when Danny DeVito was on there drunk or something, and then all of a sudden she's talking about how people in China are reporting it and they're going ching chong Danny DeVito ching chong drunk on The View ching chong. I haven't heard this. Yes, Rosie O'Donnell said on The View. People are fucking freaking out because she said ching chong, and the leader of the chinky people of America is going, it's offensive.
Okay. Actually, I can use this to bring this show to a perfect close. Because the sentiment of the season, whether you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whatever you believe, just set all that crap aside. It's actually time to appreciate each other, to get along, to let those bygones be bygones,
yeah.
To feel, to emote.
No, I agree with you completely. I agree with you.
To
I agree
kill
with
each
you.
Other, usually.
Let's come together as a race. All I want to do, I just
want
to
come
fuck.
Together over me.
Let's just fuck. I don't give a shit what you.
No,
look
no,
black,
you can't. You can't
white,
make this all
humbug.
Sexy.
Yes, you can. Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees. I don't give a shit. Get your fucking dick out. Let's love
that. What? That so does not go with this song. So,
what do I hear about your himpy love shit? I just want to fuck.
Yes. Fuck Christmas. Fuck. Oh, yes.
Just fucking press play on the CD.
Are we going? Are we done after this?
We're fucking
done. I feel we have more.
Record your own fucking podcast.
You know what they call it? A quarter pound of
wrong one.
Whoops. Wrong one.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Oh,
I told you we had more.
Last Christmas, I fucked up the CD. Yes.
I fucked up the podcast. We put it online. We didn't give a fuck.
That's nothing new.
We did it again.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Have a good Christmas and New Year.
Bye.
Love you. Fuck.
Christmas time is here.